Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen with WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with Lisa Buckley. Lisa joined the law firm of Pryor Cashman in 1996 and has been a partner there since January of 2000. Her major practice area is litigation, including complex commercial, securities, intellectual property, and entertainment litigation and arbitration, primarily involving music licensing, publishing, and recording. Lisa advises clients on security-related issues and participates in the National Association of Securities Dealers, arbitrations, and represents clients in connections with Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, investigations, and other matters. She also represents entertainment clients in cases alleging copyright and trademark infringement, theft of trade secrets, and violations of the rights of privacy and publicity. Lisa is a 1989 honors graduate of Rutgers University School of Law, where she was Order of the Coif and a Tischler Scholar. So welcome to the call today, Lisa.
Hi, Kendra. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Lisa, I'd love to just jump right in to the substance of the questions. And the first of them is sort of a historical look back. I'm wondering if you were to take a moment and reflect on your life thus far, your career, your education, I'm wondering if you would say that balancing those competing priorities in your life has always been something that came easily to you, or if it's something that at some pivotal point in your life or a critical time, you made a very conscious decision to do differently.
Kendra, I think I can unequivocally say that balancing my work and personal life is not something that has ever come naturally to me, that it is a conscious decision that I have to make almost daily after 20 years of practicing law. I really wouldn't say that there was a pivotal point. I think it's been an evolution, and I think that it continues to be an evolution. I think that at various points I found tactics and practices that helped me along the way, but again, I really believe that it is something that I work at pretty much on a daily basis. And that's the truth.
That daily choice, like you said, an evolution, and that it's not easy, and life throws different things at you day to day. Like you said, it's not easy, but it is the truth of how it all comes together.
Right. It's not easy, and you know, you have to really look for tactics that work for you. I mean, one thing that I have found really helps me is yoga. I find that yoga is helpful to, you know, not only, you know, feeling good and being fit helps you endure some of the more stressful times in both aspects of work and life, but it also helps you develop focus and consciousness. So I think that was one thing that really assisted me. And one thing that I used to say is that I didn't have time not to do yoga, because I found that the ability of that practice to allow me to be conscious and to make choices rather than just letting my heart rate or my blood pressure take me to unproductive places was something that was so valuable that I found that I had to make the time to do that in order to, you know, strive for this balance. That was before I had three kids.
So is yoga is something that you continue to do and you've been doing for quite a while then?
I did it for many years, just getting back into it after probably a three-year hiatus to have kids.
Right. Okay, so how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Okay. And how old are they?
I have twin boys who are 2.5, and I have a seven-month-old daughter.
Wow.
Which has certainly changed the balance of my work and life.
Certainly. That's three kids in 3 years. Wow. That's incredible. Wow. Yep. So you definitely, yeah, that's sort of, I can only guess, has turned your world upside down in the course of the last 3 years.
Yep.
Amazing. What would you say, Lisa, then, has been your biggest challenge, you know, as you've looked at trying to do that juggle and that balance, certainly throughout your professional career and the 20 years of law and those daily choices you mentioned, and then certainly within the last 3 years with the birth of your children? What has been the biggest challenge that has come up for you in that process?
I think the biggest challenge is that the acceptance that there is no answer, and that every day you have to make decisions and conscious choices to bring balance that day. You know, it would be nice, and we crave answers to problems, and we're uncomfortable with the feeling of discomfort. And I think I've just realized that there is no answer. There are times, particularly in the practice of litigation, where, you know, your workload is not too intense, and during those times you learn that you should go home and focus on bringing, you know, more balance to your personal life. There are other times when the workload is such that work is going to take much more time than you might like, but that it is not something that can be altered or changed. I mean, as we talk today, I'm preparing for a trial. The trial will take me away from my family for anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's no balance there. It is pretty much all work. And that is just something that you need to accept, that right now the balance is going to be tilted toward work. There are other times when you are not so taxed at your job that you have to stay late hours, and when I have those times, I take advantage of them and I go home. And again, I think what's challenging is learning to take it day by day like that, as opposed to having an answer or knowing how it's going to be tomorrow, and just reaching acceptance on it, and then, you know, wherever you are and wherever the balance dictates that you need to be at a given time, you need to just be there and not be worrying about where you're not and where you're unable to focus your time. Now, with children, you still have to, you know, you have to be there on some level for them. But, you know, it's just the uncertainty and making the day-to-day decision, this is what the scheme looks like today, and I'm going to go with it. And I think that's difficult for human beings to do.
Like you said, we're so uncomfortable with the discomfort that I think mm-hmm. we naturally seek out those easier answers. It's our nature. We want to find the answer and then live with it, and things will feel cleaner and easier and just much more clear to us when we think that we find those easy answers. But in this particular question, sometimes there are no easy answers, and we just have to do the best we can, knowing that tomorrow could very well look completely different than today did, and the balance could very well and likely will look completely different than the balance did today or a week ago or 6 weeks ago. But to get comfortable mm-hmm. with that.
And be ready to pounce on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is accepting that work is a part of your life, and, you know, in this business, it's not like you go home and can close out work. At the same time, it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, for various stretches, leave the job behind you, and when you're home, be with your kids, be with your family, or whoever it is that you choose to be with. It forces you to be in the moment.
And to just be more fully present, like you said, just be wherever you need to be there as much as you possibly can be, and shut out the other, again, to whatever extent you can, knowing that you mm-hmm. can never completely shut out your kids when you're at work, and we can't often fully shut out work even when we're somewhere else, but we can just do the best that we possibly can at that.
Right. That's thanks to the advent of the BlackBerry.
Exactly. I mean, technology makes a huge difference in
it
how
does.
Mobile we can be and how flexible we can be, still be very much in touch and yet be able to do the other parts of our life and even juggle more. Sometimes it's tempting to do too much juggling because of that, but boy, there
right.
are certainly those moments where it's a saving grace.
Right. Cuts both ways.
It does. I think it does. Lisa, what would you say in the alternative to your biggest challenge, what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you have learned? And maybe it stems from that challenge as you were discussing it. Maybe it's completely distinct. But what would you say has been your biggest lesson that has brought you some sense of knowing or skill or just helped you find an easier path as you were trying to juggle the personal and the professional?
I think that ultimately recognizing that work is a part of life and that it's not the other way around. And I guess, you know, maybe bringing a very personal example, you know, I, as I indicated, I've been practicing law for 20 years, so you can imagine that I'm not, you know, a very young woman. I waited to have children until I was in my 40s. By that point, I had already achieved partnership at my law firm. And, you know, I wouldn't say that I chose not to have children in order to pursue the career, but I think I was so distracted by pursuing my career that I almost forgot, or I just kept putting off doing things that I now find, having done them, tremendously enhance my life. And while I would not want to denigrate the importance or the significance of what my career is to me, because it is significant and it is important, it's something that I enjoy, and it's also something that, you know, allows me to provide for my family, I think that it needs to be kept in perspective. And I think that I recognize that, you know, it was really great that I finally did go ahead and do something that I wanted to do, which was, you know, bring these beautiful creatures into the world, and to recognize that as important as my work and my career is to me, it is one aspect of a larger picture, and that is life. And so that, you know, you've got to, no matter how difficult it is to find that balance, you know, find it, because otherwise you're putting too much focus on the work and you're not having that fuller picture that I think we're meant to have and need to have as human beings. And so I think that's, you know, that's something that I had to come to grips with to create what I think is a successful, if not hectic, personal and professional life.
And
putting
you,
it in perspective.
Exactly. And that, as you said at the outset of your answer to that question, that work is a part of life and not the other way around. And it sounds like that's certainly what you've discovered and created in your own life after creating the legal career that you wanted to have and built up your, you know, become a partner and built up your legal practice, but now bringing those three beautiful children into the world enhanced your life in a way that you couldn't imagine before that, and finding that way to have both the work, but now this deeper, richer part of your life has changed everything.
Right.
It's and you're, thank you for sharing.
And it doesn't take away from work. It makes me a happier, more fulfilled, and more well-rounded person. I guess that is also, you know, a part of my point, that you shouldn't think that when you bring other things into the picture that you're taking away from work, but if you're adding to yourself, there's more facets of you to bring to your professional life as well. And we're counselors, after all. Mm-hmm. So the more perspective and experience we have, the more valuable we are as counselors to our clients.
It's so true. And as you said, when we add to ourselves, we're adding not only to our personal selves, but to our professional selves, and what the experience and the perspective and the different ways of looking at things and the skills, maybe the patience, whatever we're gaining from that other part of our life that, yes, can make life a little more hectic, but in the big scheme of things, makes life so much more meaningful and joyful, and we bring that deeper sense of self to our practice.
I couldn't have said that better. That was a great summary.
Well, thank you. And it's
and
so
maybe
true.
Maybe an embellishment that you know, made my answer sound better than it actually was.
Well, it was a good answer. All I was doing was saying your answer again because I found it to be so lovely. It's so true that we're just one person. We're one person, and what adds to one part of us adds to all of us. So it's it's great, and thank you for sharing your story and your journey with growing your family a little bit later. After having established your career and growing it quickly, I mean, that's impressive to have. And
twins
terrifying.
Gave me a head start.
Yes,
twins gave me a head start.
Wow. But to have three that young, mine are 4 and 6, and still they give me a run for my money.
But to have three
close together, that's beautiful and intense for you. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Lisa, what would you say, maybe stemming from that big lesson, which was beautiful, and I thank you for sharing it, what would be 2 or 3 strategies? You're juggling these 3 very young children, a successful legal practice, and other things, so many other things in your life. What would be a few strategies or tools that you have found that have worked? You mentioned even a BlackBerry that might be technological tools or even just ways of thinking of things, but what would be some more tactical or strategic things that you might be able to offer up to help other women attorneys find more balance in their lives?
Well, I think acceptance, that there are times when you need to be one place as opposed to the other. I think being able to act, to assess the picture and where you are most needed at a given time, or where you most need to be for your own sense of well-being, acting upon it and letting go of the guilt that you should be doing something else. And those are, it's philosophical, but it's also tactics, I think. As women, we are always trying to please, and we are always feeling that we have not pleased enough or that we have let something go or have fallen through the cracks. So use the BlackBerry. You can be away from your desk and still be in touch with work. Go to yoga. Take care of yourself. Go to yoga. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. So sort of coming back to my first answer, whatever it is that you find gives you a sense of peace, well-being, focus, clarity, and consciousness, do that for yourself and make it a priority. When I look around at other women who I've seen do this successfully, that's one thing I noticed, whether it's yoga or basketball or pottery, whatever it is, do that thing for yourself. Take care of yourself, because it all stems from that. And it's very difficult to do, again, because I think we always feel that we should be somewhere else. And so find something that enriches you, that fills you back up after, you know, your job and your life and the world has depleted you, and make that a priority. And use the technology, you know, that allows you to be away from your desk, whatever that might be, your laptop, your BlackBerry, and let go. If you don't need to be there, don't be there and enjoy it. The time that you're away from whichever one, enjoy it and allow yourself to be there. I would say letting go of the guilt is a tactic that's really important, and a tip that I would like to share.
And I think especially, well, certainly as women, I think we feel guilty taking care of ourselves and being away from others who we feel need us. And certainly as mothers, we have the mommy guilt and feel like every waking moment that we're not working or doing something else we should be devoting to our children. But as you said, we can deplete ourselves very quickly if we don't take the time to fill ourselves back up. And then we're just not as good for anyone. We're not as good for our children or our clients or anyone else.
Exactly.
And as you said, I think when we fill ourselves back up, then we do become a better mother, and we're actually doing others a favor by taking care of. We're doing ourselves a favor, and we're doing others a favor, because I can feel when I'm stressed and I haven't taken time for myself because I'm short with my husband, I'm short with my children, I'm not as productive. All of those things, where if I would just take that hour and go do yoga or go for a walk or go get a massage, I could alleviate some of that and just be better all around.
Right. And you know what? The world is not going to fall apart.
That's true.
The world is not going to fall apart, and that's what I try to say. You know, I could stay at the office, but the world's not going to fall apart if I have to go and do something. And I, you know, as politically incorrect as it may sound, my tip is act like the boys. You know, act like the boys and follow their lead.
Tell me more about that. What kind of lead would you say that is?
That's the one that's going to get me in trouble. You know, I just say, you know, I observe, you know, male colleagues. When they have to do something or they have to be somewhere, they go and do it. And there's no fanfare. There's no guilt. There's no apologies. You know, there's almost a more of an innate, I need to do something, and that's sort of all there is to it, and this will be here tomorrow. I'm not suggesting anyone's behaving irresponsibly, but I think that as women, you know, we always feel that we have to make an excuse or an apology why we can't do one thing or another and make a big fanfare. You know, I have to leave early for my children. Is that okay? Whereas, you know, men, I don't think have as much emotional difficulty acting upon those needs or decisions. I have to be somewhere. There's something I have to do. Goodbye. Right. See you tomorrow. Yep. And I try to embrace that more. And I have to tell you that I cannot think of a time in my 20-year career where someone said to me, you know, Lisa, you really left me hanging. You know, you should have been there. Those times that you struggle and you put yourself through this turmoil, or you think I have to make a big excuse to go, you know, to my, you know, child's parent-teacher conference, you don't. You're an adult. You know when, you know how to juggle. You know how to make responsible decisions. And rare is the time when someone is ever going to even ask you where you went, why you had to leave, unless you're leaving in the middle of, you know, a preliminary injunction motion.
Right.
No one's going to ask you, and no one's going to care. So don't be so hard on yourself, is what I'm saying. And that's, you know, all of the toil and the stress over, can I leave? Should I leave? Do I have to tell people? Let it go. Be an adult. Be a professional. Be responsible. You know, but understand that the world is not going to cave in if you have to do something in your life or to take care of yourself. And that's a lesson that I do feel that I've learned from the boys.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, I think it's something, maybe it's not sexist, it's something we can learn from men who are much more unapologetic when they need to do something or take some time, or they just say that they need it and they take it and they do it and they don't ask permission so much. I mean, if they know they're not leaving anyone high and dry and they're not disturbing anyone, they just go and do what needs to be taken care of. I think, like you said, without the emotional fanfare of what will so-and-so think, or will I inconvenience anyone else, or any of that. If we know that that's not true, and we know that we'll be back to take care of whatever it is, or we've done all of the prep work that we need to do, I think we can do the same thing and just kind of claim what we need to do for ourselves, do it unapologetically, knowing that everything will, the world will not end, and we will be back to take care of what we need to take care of. And there are lessons to be learned from men as well, just typically the way they do things and they ask for what they need.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean any disrespect to my male colleagues. I just observe a difference in orientation, and, you know, I think we have things to teach each other. And so I'm an advocate of doing that, of looking, observing, and taking lessons where you find them.
I completely agree. And I actually think I'm applauding men in this way for just really being clear about what they need to do and doing it without the overwhelming guilt that I think sometimes women impose on ourselves. And as you said, so many times people don't even think about it. You know, you just say, I need to step out for a little while. And they say, okay. And here we spend an hour beforehand thinking, oh my gosh, what will they think? They'll be so upset.
Exactly.
They don't care.
They don't care.
Or we wrap ourselves into quite a bundle worrying about these things that others don't worry about at all. And so I think, as you said, it's something we can learn from a more male style of just saying things or doing things without all the emotional baggage that comes along with it, just allowing ourselves to be a little more free of that and let go of the guilt, as you suggested.
Right.
Lisa, as we wrap up our time together, I'm wondering if there's any sort of final words that you'd like to share. If you were speaking with another woman attorney or women lawyers and talking about this dance or this juggle that we do between our personal, our professional, our family, and our life and our work and all of that, is there anything else that you'd like to share with that woman who was looking to you and saying, wow, you know, I think there's things I could learn from Lisa? What would you share with them?
I would say hang in there, stay in the game, and let's talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that women, I've read women complaining that they don't feel that they have mentors, female mentors at the law firm. And I just think that, you know, as women, we need to be there for each other. We need to talk to each other. Don't be afraid to seek out some of the women who've been at it longer than you have and to try and open up a dialogue. And, you know, there are no easy answers, but getting the support and talking it out and bouncing ideas off of someone who has perhaps struggled with the same things and maybe found some tips or solutions is something that we should do. And I am just a firm believer that we should be supportive of each other and we should be helping each other to survive, not only survive this, but to thrive in a professional environment, and since mine is a law firm, I would say in the law firm in particular. Litigation is a tough business. The law firm is a tough business, but we are here. We are here in numbers, and I think that we need to support each other and reach out to each other, not in a way that's exclusionary, but in a way that we do what we're doing today, which is opening the door, sharing information, and, you know, helping other women get up that ladder as well. And I think that we all benefit from that. And so that I would like to see a lot of camaraderie among women, and I would like to see them talking to each other and helping each other grapple with the issues that they face in an environment that is traditionally male. And I think that's about it.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I think so many times we are afraid to ask the questions, or afraid, as probably typically perfectionistic women who really like to at least put on a front that we've got it all together, but to ask the questions and say, maybe I don't have it all together and I could really use some information or some support. I think as women, we like to nurture, we like to support, we like to give of ourselves to other women. So I think there's an opportunity to both give the information and anything we've discovered that has worked, we want to share that, and also an opportunity to receive, to ask the questions, to make ourselves just a little bit vulnerable and say, you know, I'm really struggling here and I could use some support. What have you done that's worked? What could I learn from you? Because I feel like I've got to do something differently. We can have that beautiful cycle of giving and receiving as women, and as you said, a camaraderie where we open that door and have those conversations and support one another in what can be a very challenging profession and a challenging balance between the personal and the professional demands of a very intense career. So thank you for that reminder to be of support to other women.
My pleasure.
Lisa, as we wrap up, could you please just share your firm website or any information you would like to share about you, what you're working on, how folks could connect with you in the future? If you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
I would love to hear from anyone who's, you know, also dealing with these issues. My firm is Prior Cashman. Our website is www.priorcashman.com. Mine is lbuckley@priorcashman.com. And I would love to hear from anyone who, as I said, is grappling with some of the same issues. Also, anyone who, you know, has legal issues and who likes to work with women in handling legal issues, also anyone who is interested in taking advantage of the vast expertise that Prior Cashman has in virtually every area of the law, I welcome that as well, because, you know, as women, this is another thing that we haven't really talked about. It's important in order to, you know, find some sense of self-determination and success at the law firm, getting business is something that's very important. And as women, I think we often don't ask for business. So, you know, I'm going to take that leap. And if there's anybody who wants to, you know, give my firm business, that's something that I welcome as well.
I think it's another way that we can support women, women attorneys, fellow women attorneys, as you suggested, is there are certainly clients that come to us that are outside of our area of expertise, and we need a good, trusted place to send them. And to be able to think of other women that we trust and that we know will serve them in a good way, in a powerful way, and then connect those potential clients with other attorneys such as yourself or firms that we know we can trust. Because we know, I mean, women are getting to know you and how you operate and the ethics and the integrity that you operate with, so they could feel comfortable referring someone to you. And again, just knowing one another and sharing clients with one another as is appropriate, it's another way we can support one another as we build our business and as we build our practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to be understated, let's get real. That's an issue for us, and we need to do more of it, get better at it, and support each other in our efforts to do it. So, Kendra, I think that was, you know, a really, really insightful remark on your part, and a perfect way to sort of, you know, put a dot at the end of what has been a really pleasurable experience for me talking with you.
Well, good. Me too, Lisa. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you've shared and the honesty with which you've shared it, and words of wisdom from both a long and solid legal career and also as a mother of young children and what you're going through right now. I appreciate the time and the presence that you have brought to our time together. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kendra.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up our conversation with Lisa. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I trust that anyone listening to this or reading these words will find something in Lisa's story and what she shared and the wisdom that she's gleaned over a long career and a well-lived life. You will find something to implement in your legal practice and your life that will make it better and make it the kind of professional and personal experience that you want to have. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, CEO and founder of Women Lawyers Online, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here today. Bye-bye.